It didn't take long. The war in the Middle East has spread across the region. It started with U.S. and Israeli airstrikes in Iran. Retaliation by the Islamic Republic came quickly. Iran fired hundreds of missiles and drones at its neighbors in the Gulf. And now Israel and Hezbollah are once again at war. A couple of days after the news of the death of Ayatollah Ali Khamenei was announced, Hezbollah, the Iran-backed Shiite militia in Lebanon, began firing rockets and missiles across the border into Israel. The Israeli military has responded with attacks in southern Beirut and elsewhere. It's also sending ground troops back into southern Lebanon. Our story today is just one of many we're following at the Christian Science Monitor, getting to a range of perspectives about the war in the Middle East. It's Friday, March 6th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Matthew Bell. First, we've got our curation of news briefs from writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbrief. Also, check out our app. President Trump fired Department of Homeland Security head Kristi Noem. She faced political blowback for months, including by some GOP lawmakers. In January, Secretary Noem oversaw immigration enforcement surges that resulted in federal agents killing two U.S. citizens in Minneapolis. The final straw seemed to come this week after she told Congress that Mr. Trump approved a controversial ad campaign, which the president reportedly disputes. The secretary served us well and will be moving to a special envoy role, Mr. Trump said in a Thursday social media post. Republican Senator Mark Wayne Mullen of Oklahoma has been tapped to fill the top slot at DHS. Watch the Christian Science Monitor app for Sarah Matusik's report on Secretary Noem's legacy at DHS, what led to her ouster, and how the institution can move forward. More than 330,000 people are displaced by recent conflicts. New fighting in the Middle East and along the Afghanistan-Pakistan border has forced many families to flee. UNHCR, the United Nations Refugee Agency, on Thursday said most people have been forcibly displaced within their own countries. 2 days after the U.S.-Israeli strikes against Iran started, around 100,000 people had fled the Iranian capital of Tehran. The agency is calling for dialogue and de-escalation as it supports people driven out of their homes. Also, Japan has ordered the dissolution of the Unification Church. The Tokyo High Court upheld a lower court order to dissolve the controversial religious organization on the grounds of civil wrongdoing. The group was founded in South Korea in the 1950s. It has been accused of using coercive fundraising tactics and came under pointed scrutiny after the assassination of Japan's former Prime Minister, Abe Shinzo. The shooter cited Mr. Abe's links to the church, which he says bankrupted his family, as his primary motive. The group can still appeal to the country's Supreme Court. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news. The U.S. and Israeli leaders have made it clear they want regime change in Iran, but the Islamic Republic had prepared for this day with a political succession plan and a battlefield strategy. The result so far is Iranian confidence, despite the existential threat of the war. Scott Peterson reports from London for The Monitor. After Iran-backed Hezbollah militants fired rockets into Israel from Lebanon, Israel went on the offensive and sent ground troops into southern Lebanon. Can Israel deal with Hezbollah without alienating a Lebanese government that seems keen on reining in Hezbollah and that is not overtly hostile to Israel? Shoshana Solomon and Dina Kraft report from Washington and Tel Aviv. The war is still widening, yet no matter how and when it ends, one thing is already clear. The emergence of Israel as a regional superpower intent on redrawing the politics and the map of a Transformed Middle East. Columnist Ned Temko offers an analysis of Benjamin Netanyahu's political calculus and some possible outcomes. The Iran conflict is generating strong criticism from many prominent MAGA commentators who say President Donald Trump has lost touch with what his voters really want. As the Republican Party starts looking toward a post-Trump era, it has the potential to reshape the MAGA coalition. Story Hinckley reports for The Monitor. The U.S. is blocking oil shipments to Cuba, where people are struggling to make ends meet. Ordinary Cubans are also defying the risks that come with criticizing their government, and they're asking for political change. Whitney Ulick and Rudy Cabrera Arcia have that report for The Monitor from Mexico City and Havana, Cuba. Modern Democrats aim to be the party of inclusivity, but as they've lost Christian voters to the Republican Party, a growing number are publicly reclaiming what they describe as a more moderate version of the faith. Sophie Hills reports for The Monitor. Now, today's commentary from The Monitor's editorial board about how Ukraine's strength has uplifted Europe. Here it is in full. Ukraine's ability to fend off more than 4 years of relentless military assaults by Russia has forged a resolute unity and focus among its people. At the same time, its example in surviving the crucible of war has helped steel the geopolitical resolve of the European Union and led the 27-nation bloc to reassert its founding values. The war has reminded Europeans of what unites them, stated Pavel Zarka of the European Council on Foreign Relations. The values of democracy, rule of law, human rights, civil society, and freedom went from abstract terms to something very tangible, he wrote soon after the war began in 2022. Since the fourth anniversary on February 24th, Europe's declarations of support for Ukraine and for European unity have grown even stronger. There is no moral ambiguity, France's EU commissioner wrote in Le Monde. Aiding Ukraine is both an act of solidarity and an investment in building a stronger, safer, and more united Europe. One big divide in Europe might be on the mend. Nearly a decade after Brexit, when the United Kingdom left the EU, it has moved closer to the bloc on migration, trade, and defense. It is time to reset the EU-UK partnership to respond to today's realities, European Parliament President Roberta Metsola said in a speech. Russia's war in Ukraine was meant to weaken our alliance, she observed. Instead, she pointed out, Europe's defense industry has been revitalized and its bureaucracy made faster, and it has mobilized some 90 billion euros in support for Ukraine. In an interesting twist, the narrative is no longer just about the West coming to Ukraine's aid. European nations are snapping up Ukrainian frontline know-how to rewire themselves for a transformed battlefield, stated the Wall Street Journal. The United States, too, is weighing purchases of Ukrainian-made interceptors to use against Iranian drones. Perhaps the EU's boldest move has been to fast-track Ukraine for membership in the bloc, which is seen as a prelude to possibly giving security guarantees against Russian aggression. While some EU members worry about Ukraine as an economic partner, they see the value of enlarging the EU tent. The situation recalls the words of Britain's legendary World War II leader, Winston Churchill, from 80 years ago. In a March 5, 1946 speech in Missouri, Mr. Churchill warned about the Iron Curtain that Soviet Russia, as he called it, was drawing across Eastern Europe. The safety of the world requires a new unity in Europe, he said that day. Later that same year, he went further. The task is to recreate the European family, he said, to provide it with a structure under which it can dwell in peace, safety, and freedom. We must build a kind of United States of Europe. Little did he realize how a former Soviet republic, Ukraine, would someday nudge the continent to fortify its safety and freedom. These stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find those stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science spiritual perspective contributor shares how God's joy and goodness unshackle us from a tendency to fixate on problems rather than solutions. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Victoria Hoffman, Clay Collins, and Alyssa Britton.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2026.